Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
I'm going to read out an email. Hi, Niall. I know you talk about a lot of things in your show, and I have a problem which may I'm sure, is very common. I met the most wonderful guy when I was 22, 3 years ago. When I met him, he was gambling fairly heavily, and I was very cautious, and after a lot of arguments and a near breakup, he assured me that he loved me and he'd stop. We have separate bank accounts, we're currently saving, and I have a fair few thousand saved, and every time I ask him how much he has, he's quite vague and says to me, I have it in hand. We're getting married next year. I need 20,000 to pay a deposit on a small house in Cork and 10,000 for a wedding deposit, etc., etc., etc. Last week, my friend told me that she met him coming out of the bookies in the city. I asked him, was he back gambling? And he denied it and said I was delusional. I've asked on many occasions to see his bank statement and he gets all weird and said that's going too far and I've no right to look in his account. We had a huge row last week and he broke down and started to cry and said he was spending about 200 a week on betting shops and online. I'm furious, and he is now saying I need to be more understanding of his addiction and that I loved him. If I loved him, I would support him and help him. My mother said I need to get out, but I love him so much, but I hate what he's doing. My friends have mixed views, and some think I can change him, but others say I should just drop him before it's too late. I don't honestly know what to do. I need advice and from experience from other people in my situation. I haven't spoken to him since last Saturday. He keeps texting me saying that he'll stop and get help, but I haven't answered his texts. P.S. He eventually admitted he had no savings and had spent it all each week on betting. Help, what should I do? Now, that's a very difficult situation, isn't it? You love somebody, they have a problem. Now, he's lied to her quite consistently, obviously, for the last few years and said he was saving when he actually wasn't saving. In the last 2 years, he's obviously told her he was putting money by and he wasn't. He was blowing it all in the local betting shop or online. And now, of course, he's admitted it. And he's saying, well, if you love me, you'll help me, you'll support me, you'll help me get through this. But what should she do? What would you do in that situation? She's not married to him yet. She's obviously engaged, but she's not married to him yet. What would you do? Advice. A lot of people are going to say, get out of there. There is no such thing as a happy gambler. I don't believe for a minute that anybody can call into this radio station and tell me they're a happy gambler. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Can you ever be a happy gambler? I don't think so. So what should she do? Should she stick with him? Stand by him? Help him? Support him? Let me know. The number is 087-188-0008. Now remember, there is lots of organisations, of course, that you can go. It's Gamblers Anonymous, etc, etc. And many organisations that you can go to get help if you are a gambler. But what do you do if you're the spouse, partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, father, sister? What do you do? Do you abandon somebody when they just don't seem to want to stop? And particularly in this situation where he's probably spending every single penny on gambling. Pardon me. What do you do? Do you abandon them? I'm looking at the text coming in already. No, I was in that situation myself. I couldn't stick with it. I tried on numerous occasions to be forgiving. I even went and sought help. But unfortunately, it didn't stop. Please tell that girl just to go. Leave him. Don't stick with him. It's all well and good for everybody else to say that she should support him. But they're not the one picking up the pieces. And that's really, isn't it? In a lot of cases, that's what's going to happen. And the same goes for a drinker, by the way. You know, you can say, oh, I'm going to support a drinker, I'm going to support them. But at the end of the day, you know, people, it's all well and good for other people to tell you to do that, but you're not the one picking up the pieces. You're not the one who's being lied to, stolen, you know, stealing, the people are stealing on them. Because they'll steal money. The number is 087-188-0008. 087-188-0008. Now, who had a good verse? Oh, yeah, sorry. Michal, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Michal?
And you got your magic. Now, he's taken a lot of talk and I know. Isn't that a brilliant day we have today?
Is it? Where are you right now?
At the present minute, I'm sitting at home in Strafford. Now, just, well, I'm in about 10 minutes.
Whereabouts did you say you were sitting at home and where?
In Strafford.
Oh, Strafford. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. Beautiful part of the country.
I sent you in a beautiful photograph of my cat. Did you see that on WhatsApp?
Oh, of your cat?
Of a cat. Take a look at it. You won't see it again in the world.
All right.
I don't believe it. Went in on WhatsApp. The girls are seeing it and they can't believe it. Right. And a cat on top of a pole. It's just, you wouldn't come on it in a million years. One of these freak photographs.
Okay, well, I'll get Ruth now to show it to me on the screen in a second. She'll put it up on the screen for me in a second. But, yeah. Micheál, at what temperature is it in Strafford at the moment?
At the present minute, I wouldn't know, but it's less than yesterday.
Oh, wait, right, okay.
It's less than yesterday. The temperature yesterday below in the shed, where I keep a car, was 42 inside in the shed.
Oh, 40. Well, yeah, that's because there's probably a corrugated iron roof on it, isn't
it? And perspex a bit, and the part of it was meant to, the roof's too low. The higher one wasn't so bad. But the other one, I could have buy the kettle if I wanted without plugging in anything.
Right. So, Micheál, what do you do in a situation where your partner is a gambler? And they're blowing, like, well, they obviously don't have a huge income, I wouldn't imagine, an average person. But they're blowing 200 a week in the betting shop. Probably more if the two can.
Oh, boy. I tell you, I'd stop him going to the betting shop. He'd be charged with arson because I cut the legs of him.
It's all well and good saying you do that. But, you know, and she did have this row with him going back 3 years ago. And he promised he wouldn't do it again. But he did.
It's a normal life. Are there kids involved, first off?
No.
Well, then she's no problem. If there are kids involved, it's a whole different bargain.
No, they're not married yet. She's only with him 3 years. They're not married yet. She's supposed to be getting married to him next year.
Well, I leave next year, run for next 20 years, because he goes north, I go south. I'd be gone the opposite direction.
Right, so you wouldn't be getting married to him.
No, I wouldn't have anything to do with them. No, they had the problem. They know what it is. The same as an alcoholic. As I just said, I met a guy this morning, at 6 in the morning. I met a lovely guy. He worked for me a number of years. And we hit the bottle. He's a new man. His wife is back. His family back. He's off the drink for 7 years.
He became
an alcoholic.
And you're right. There's very little difference. But obviously, there are different addictions. But between an alcoholic, addictions. A drug addict, or a gambler, they're all addictions, right?
They're addictions.
Absolutely. But a lot of people will say, Micheál, you know, you need to have a heart here. The guy is probably a nice guy. She said she loves him, and maybe she should support him and help him.
He doesn't have a heart. If he had a heart or anything with nature of a heart, and look at that girl that he said he loves, and obviously maybe he did, maybe she loves him, but the point is, no, it's nothing there. For months, the addiction overcomes the love, forget about it. It's nothing, no love anymore, it's addiction.
And do you think there's a possibility he may stop for good, or do you believe a leopard never changes their spots?
Well, oh no, I won't believe a leopard never changes their spots, because I've proved this thing 100 times in life with different people myself. You can't get a leopard will not change their spots, but you can get people to change their approach to things. But the point, no, he was there already. He got out of it. And now here, it's back again. No, just time.
Okay. Well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Margaret as well. Margaret, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Margaret?
Hi, Niall. I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Nice to talk to you. I mean, what advice would you give to this young girl?
I suppose, Niall, I've had experience in my past of living with a gambler. He was someone who was very successful professionally in his own life, but he did have gambling, and it took over everything, Niall, I suppose. There wasn't a conversation that you could have that it always reverted back to horses or gambling or the jockeys. I mean, sometimes it was embarrassing out socially that, you know, every conversation would always come back to his
horse
his
racing
obsession, I suppose. Yeah. And of course, we at times we would have arguments about it, and he would say, oh, it's just a hobby, would you leave me alone, it's just a hobby. And I suppose now, as time went on, deception became greater. And I was told I was paranoid. I was told I was imagining things. And Niall, I suppose, to use an old quote, I suppose the leopard never changes spots. But just the point, this girl, this man, kind of, I found it quite manipulative what he said, that if you love me, you'll stand by me.
Yeah.
And that really struck a chord with me, Niall.
Is that what was said to you?
No, it wasn't. No, it actually ended. I was expecting our first child, and he actually had an affair. So that's what ended our relationship.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Look, that's okay. It's a long time ago now.
And you're right in what you're saying about, say, horse racing, right? And maybe Micheál would agree with me on this as well, that you can have a hobby of an interest in football or soccer or GAA without gambling. But with horse racing, most people who have a huge interest in horse racing will gamble as well. So the two go hand in hand.
They do. And it just took over everything. I remember we were at a wedding one time, just recall it now, and he left the church. He left me alone in the church to go and check a horse race. He went down to a betting shop. We were in a different town, but he left. He was fidgeting on the seat beside me, and next thing he just jumped up and he walked out of the church.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Well, that's it. It's like an alcoholic or a drug addict, yeah, or like any other addiction. Everything else gets priority. Yeah, I mean, nothing gets priority, yeah, should I say, apart from the gamble. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. It's an addiction. It takes over every part of their life. It's in the brain, you know. And
sorry, Micheál, what did you say to Margaret?
I said, did she give him the door?
Oh no! She gave the door for different reasons. But
I did. I walked out. There was a couple of different reasons, but yeah, I did. I walked out. Look, it's 10 years ago now, and all of that. But
do you think? Do you think if there was no other reason for the breakup of the marriage, which you say there was, do you think you would have stuck with him?
I don't. I think. I think maybe I would have had a nervous breakdown now, and because I would have been the quiet person in the relationship, I would have, you know, he is still a very kind of vivacious person, and he's just always out there, and I think he would have worn me down, Niall.
Okay.
And, you know, maybe I think I had a lucky escape, and a lot of people would have said that to me,
yeah,
later
so,
on. You
so
know?
You would basically, yeah, say to anybody involved with somebody who's gambling, even if they're telling you they're doing it for fun or a hobby, that there's no happy ending to that.
There's none. Now, I suppose, look, if this guy, look, there's help out there now, and there's a lot
second
more help.
Time,
than
second
now,
time round.
Yeah, look, but if he says to her, if you love me, you'll stick by me. But she must say to him, if you love me, you must get help.
Well, he is saying he'll get help. But here's the problem. She realised this when she met him first, and he promised he'd stop. Yeah. And he did. Yeah. Well, seemingly he stopped, or supposed, yeah, to have stopped. But it seems like maybe he didn't. He was just lying to her for the last 2 years.
He's been
I mean, she's saved up, according to her email, she's saved up a few thousand. They both have their own bank accounts. They need money for next year for the wedding and for a deposit. And, you know, and he would never show his bank account. And now it seems that he's admitted that he has no money. He spent it all.
Oh, the poor girl. It's an awful dilemma for her. But maybe they should just, even if she just said, look, I need to leave now, you need to sort yourself out. And if 6 months, a year down the line, you straighten yourself out, maybe we can rekindle our relationship. But at the moment, it looks like he's in the throes of an addiction. He's been so deceptive to her over the last number of years. And I don't even think he can get himself out of it.
And can I ask you, if it's not too personal, at the time when you were with your former partner, did the gambling cause any financial hardship in the relationship?
It didn't. He was quite well off, I suppose, at the time.
Okay, so he could afford it. Business. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was all hidden. You know, I suppose it was a family business, so I wasn't directly involved in it.
So you were just aware of the income that was coming in every week, and that wasn't being affected because there was plenty of money anyway. So that was the point you're trying to.
I suppose in that sense, I was in college at the time, and I suppose I had just my own small income, and we did at that time. We were, you know, our incomes weren't pooled together. I suppose.
Of course, yes. So you wouldn't really have been aware of what was being spent, but you just know there was large amounts.
He would never say, and if he did, I knew he was lying. He would say a couple of hundred.
They'll always say that. But I mean, gambling primarily, it used to be very much a male problem many years ago. But now, with the online gambling and all this kind of stuff, I suppose nowadays it's not just male, it's women as well. And, you know, women are in and out of bookies too, probably as well. More so online.
Well, online, I think, it's so dangerous, Niall. And I suppose a thought that has come to me over the years is that I don't know why the government hasn't put higher taxes.
They should ban the advertising on it.
And ban advertising, but higher taxes on gambling. I mean, you have it on alcohol, you have it on cigarettes. I don't understand why, you know, the money, the billions that's been spent on gambling and their taxes, I'm not sure what it is, but I know it's low. I know it's low on gambling. You know, maybe 20%. Every time you put down a bet, you have to pay 20% in tax.
How much do you think is spent on gambling in this country every year?
Oh.
Now, this includes everything. Horse racing, football, the lottery, of course, with the National Lottery, which is gambling.
Oh, the National Lottery as well. $2 billion?
$10 billion.
Oh, my God.
In a population of 5 million people. Isn't that an incredible amount of money?
mind-blowing, actually. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, we're a nation of punters, all right.
And sometimes we do believe it's innocent stuff. I mean, I know a lot of us do the lottery as well every now and again, you know, particularly when it gets up to a nice high amount, because we always want to be that one person to win.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think it's a huge problem unless you're overdoing it. You know, and I know the National Lottery will put a lot of steps in place that you can't do it after 12 o'clock at night and all these kind of things to try and, you know, keep an eye on it. But unfortunately, people do get hooked on those things too. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course you do get sucked in very easily. You know, look, people do, and it's very, I won't say sinister, but it creeps up on people, I think.
Yep.
You know, especially the online, and especially for young people, I would, you know, I think it's far too easy. At bottom line, it's far too easy. You know, you have your phone, and we all know how accessible the world is, you know, through the phone. And
young people, by the way, now, young people are gambling at a very young age, not only in, you know, kind of football and sports and like that. I mean, I hear more recently of 12 and 13-year-olds who are gambling on PlayStations, essentially to buy new skins for games or, and you know...
Really?
Yeah, they call them loot boxes. So it's essentially gambling within the game, and they can use real money. I had a woman on last year, and she said her son had asked for her credit card to buy a game on his PlayStation, which she gave him.
Sure.
So obviously when she put it into the PlayStation, it stored the credit card number. Within 2 months, he had spent the mortgage on the house. He had spent over $2,500, the son. And he was only 13 or 14 years of age.
Oh, my God. Talk about having to watch them online.
Yeah.
There's the danger around every corner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, anyway, your advice, Margaret, is leave that situation until you get some sort of acknowledgement that it's stopped, that there's no point in getting into it. Margaret, thank you very much for your call. And thank you, Michal, as well. Keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Maybe you've been in that situation yourself and you've lived with a gambler. What was the end result? Can a leopard change their spots? The number is 087-188-0008. Just look at some of the news coming in. You couldn't make up some of these stories, I'll be honest with you. The former, I'm sure you're all well aware of the kind of scandal there, the Davy scandal, and the former Davy CEO, who was forced to resign over his role in the bond trading scandal at the firm, is set to get paid nearly $79 million for his stake in the stockbroker as it was sold to Bank of Ireland. And just the heading there, I think it was in the Irish Independent, it says, former Davy boss to reap $79 million as Bank of Ireland sale heralds return of banker bonuses. You just couldn't make this stuff up, because you couldn't. Let me go back to gambling if I can. Julie here in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Julie?
Hi.
Julie, getting back to gambling. So this girl sent in the email, so she's supposed to be getting married next year and she's saving for a house as well. She's been putting her money by in her accounts, her savings. She said she has a few thousand. And he hasn't, obviously. He'd been lying to her all along, saying he had, but he's been spending it in bookie shops and online.
Okay.
So.
Tell her to run.
Run.
Tell her to run. Run. Run for the hills.
Well, her mother said run, but
her
friends have mixed views and said that maybe she can change him.
No, I first met, when I first met my ex-husband several years ago, we were like that in our 20s. We were saving up to buy a house. We were saving up to buy a house, and we were both saving in the same joint account. We were saving our money. That was fine, but I found my money was going in more than his. And then when we were out with friends, it was, oh, let's go to the shop and buy lottery tickets and see if we can win. And I noticed it was happening more often, doing the lotto, doing telly bingos, which was like ridiculous. But anyway, years later, I married and we bought a house, had children, etc., whatever. And then he had a business. I had my business. He had his business. He lost his company through gambling, through drink. People were coming to the door, bailiffs, looking for money that he hadn't got. He had sold cars behind my back. He had he had done an awful lot of things. Recently there, now we're separated, divorced 12 years now, and I only realised...
I should say congratulations to you, so, shouldn't I?
Yes. Oh, thank God, yeah. And there, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, I was talking with my children and my husband now, about all due to gambling. The day he walked out, I'm trying to cut a long story short, the day he walked out, he took everything except for paperwork he had left in his wardrobe. And when I looked at bank statements, in one day he had gambled €2,500
on
so many different transactions,
And was it online or betting shops?
Yes.
And was
online.
It online?
Online. I seen online. Then he it turned out that he was an alcoholic as well.
Right.
So
okay.
He wasn't just a gambler; he was an alcoholic, a liar.
Well, drank a lot. Okay.
Yes. Everything.
Okay. So the bottom line is that your advice is that you can't change a person. Now, if the person is being transparent. You know, I mean, and if this young man she's with who says, look, I'll get help, you know, can you support me?
Look,
at least he's admitting it and he's being transparent.
Yeah. My ex-husband admitted it once when I questioned him over it. He went to Gamblers Anonymous, he went to Alcoholics Anonymous for the first couple of weeks and that was it. And I'm healed. He'd stay off, you know, with the computer and he'd give me the bank cards. But he'd always, when he gave me the bank cards, he'd already have another one being posted out.
Right.
But the one he had given me was cancelled. So they've ways and means about doing it.
Okay, I suppose it's like every addiction. You lie to the ones you love to continue doing it. So your advice is just get out of there while the going's good.
Yeah.
And what do you say to people who say, well, you know, if you love somebody, you should try and support them and help them because it's an addiction. You know, it's like anything. I like drink, like drugs, like everything else, that you should try and stick by them. And okay, you know, if it comes to a point where it's just, you feel it's not going to stop or not going anywhere, well then maybe. But maybe she should stick by him for a while.
Look, let her give him the benefit of the doubt and do it before she gets married, see how long it lasts for. Like, I'm no expert on this, but I'm just giving you my opinion and my story. It's totally up to herself, but she needs to look really hard into it and not share any bank accounts and make sure she has her own money put aside as well. And there's nothing there he can rob.
This says an awful lot about, do you remember the years ago people used to have a single joint account? When I was married, we had a single joint account and I didn't have my own bank account and neither did my wife. So we just used the one account.
Yeah.
And it does say an awful lot about that because at least then you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if I was with a gambler, I think that's what I'd have to insist on.
Yes.
I'd have to insist that I can monitor. And now that sounds very controlling, but if you're with a gambler or somebody like that, you'd have to be so take control somehow.
For sure, yeah.
But you'd have to say, listen, we have one bank account between us, so I can see what you're doing with the money and that's it.
Yeah, but then what if that one day he decides, to hell with it, I'm going to go online and gamble all the money?
But at least then you know. At least then you know they're doing it and they're not lying to you. At least you can see it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've many people in your situation, you know, Julie, and many of those people, like, they talk about the mortgage being spent, the rent being spent, the bills being spent.
My house was nearly taken off me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, my house was nearly taken off me. I didn't realise that the mortgage wasn't being paid. And plus, there was an €88,000 worth of judgments on the house because of the gambling.
And when you say you didn't realise the mortgage was being paid, I mean, I'm certainly not, by the way, having a go at you, by the way. But I'm just saying, were you not actively involved in, you know, looking at that and seeing that, like, you know, if you jointly own the home together, I don't know.
I trusted him, Niall. I trusted him.
Yeah, you just trusted him.
I was busy working and minding, you know, looking after the children. Yeah.
And that was his responsibility to look after those things. Yep. So you just trusted he did it.
Yep.
You know, I'm so sorry.
I was doing everything else. So, yeah, it was a shock when I realised it.
Yeah, I mean, somebody is saying, how did that lady and her ex manage to get a mortgage when he was online gambling, as the banks don't usually approve them when they see the gambling? Well, that's changed now. I mean, there was a time going back, I don't know how long ago that was.
But we got a mortgage long before the internet.
Yeah, that wasn't. Yeah, that would have been the
long
case.
Long before the internet, yeah.
I know now, for example, if you apply for a mortgage now and the mortgage company see Paddy Powers or Boyle Sports or whatever it is, or, you know, or even the lottery on your bank statement quite a lot, you won't get a mortgage. You know, you're done.
Yeah.
So you need another way of figuring out how to spend your money on gambling now if you want to get a mortgage. But look, Julie, I'm glad you're away from it. I'm glad you're away from it. You know?
Yeah. No, I wish her the best of luck and I hope it all works out for her no matter what she does. But just to keep her eyes out open constantly. Yeah.
All right, Julie, listen, thank you very much indeed. And I hope you have a long and happy life. And I'm glad you're away from that now. Ashley, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Ashley?
Well, Niall, how are you?
How are you, Ashley?
I'm in great form. I'm off today. I'm going out to my 38 euro pool with my ice pop.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Where did you buy your 38 euro pool?
I tell you, it's the best thing I ever bought this summer. And I'm sure, I'm just saying there, the neighbours must think I'm so mad. I don't care, because this heat is killing me. So
look at that. Yeah. Well, they're looking out the window. Look at your woman in her pool and her ice pop. Who does she think she is?
I'm laughing because I'm sure when the planes are going across, you must be saying, my jeez, I never thought I'd see an island. Everybody buying paddling pools and everything else. It's
and what sort of pool is it? Is it big?
You can fit four adults stretched out. And I just go out there and I like... I thought of him, I'm not going out in a bikini. I said, do you know what? Now I don't.
Why won't you go out in a bikini?
Because, you know, you're stepping your back out. It's different when you're on your holiday, but you're back out.
Why? Who's going to see you?
It's a woman thing. There's some pervert twitching his toes.
Oh, look at Ashley in her bikini going.
And it's not even matching bloody anymore because I can't fit into me bottom since this COVID. I'm putting on the weight.
Have you got little seats in the pool that you can sit on?
I don't need a seat. It's that good, Niall, I have to tell you. You can rest your head right back.
Right.
There was none of the other way pool years ago and you'd buy them for a fiver in that dial shop in Talbot Street. They're much better. And you think, you say, my God, this is like... And I keep visualising I'm in Portugal or somewhere.
Hey, right, you close your eyes and imagine you're on holidays by the pool.
And then I wake up and I see a pair of red twitches curtains.
And your knickers on the line and you go, ah, I'm not in Portugal after all. And is the water warm? Are you putting hot water into it, like warm water?
No, you wouldn't
freezing.
Believe it. No, honest to God, it's just nice and chilled. You know the way when you get into a pool and you're on your holiday and you go, oh, and you're tipping around like an Egypt for a couple of minutes. And then after a few minutes, you're settling into it and you're grand. That's what it's like.
Well, listen, getting back to more serious issues, getting back to a gambler, would you stick by a gambler? Would you support him?
Well, the reason I was calling, I was just saying, it's all very easy now for us all to say, right, oh, you know what, leave, run, right? I don't believe any addict wakes up every morning and says, oh, this is the way I want to live my life, right?
No, of course not.
And I think it's a horrific thing because not only do they he might suffer with gambling or something, but they're always coupled with another one, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that I would say to that girl is, obviously, look, she's looking for people to give her the answers. Forget it. Because she's the one that's going to have to suffer it or whatever.
Yeah, but you heard Julie, before you come on, her life was nearly destroyed being married to a gambler.
And it can be. Because, you see, the thing that happens is when you're with any type of addict, is that you become obsessed with the addict.
Yeah.
So
you can't help it. They drag you into it as well.
So this is it. But you see, that's where I'm saying your strength has to kick in. If you're willing to compromise the love of yourself more so than anything, well, then that's what will happen.
So you're saying you have to value yourself?
Completely and 100%. And while an addict is going through his therapy, the other partner would have to go through their own therapy because... You can't just wake up and say, oh, you know what, he's going to AA or he's going to Gamblers Anonymous or whatever it may be, and that's grand and all is going to be perfect. No, it's not. It's really not going to be perfect. And you know what, it's sad to say, but statistics show that more times these cases are not successful.
No, they go back on it again.
No, and I do believe, Niall, I firmly believe that, you know, just because you may say to somebody, you know, you need to go and get therapy and see this counsellor and all that, and sometimes you don't get the right counsellors, and sometimes, you know, even though we've loads of support in this country, it doesn't mean because you're getting support that your problem is going to be dealt with. Because a lot, for starters, counsellors read from textbooks, and the best counsellors are the ones that probably have experienced it themselves, or trained in addiction.
I couldn't agree with you more. Ashley, I'm going to have to go into a break, but that's some great advice, by the way. And in the interim, by the way, enjoy your pool.
Oh, I will indeed.
Yeah, are you going out to it now in the next 20 minutes?
Come over and you can bring home with you. Come on, bring her over and we'll have you in the pool.
Maybe we'll give you a ring back before the end of the show if you're in the pool.
No problem, no. And no, I'll be waiting here. I'll be cleaning around, having me coffee and then I'm going to jump in the pool.
All right.
So you can call me back.
Yeah, we'll call you back before the end of the show maybe. And we'll try and join you for the experience.
Oh, lovely.
All right. All right, Ashley, thanks. See you. The number is 087-188-0008. More serious things, getting back to gambling. Can you get a gambler to change? Dave, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you, Dave?
Niall, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Are you in a paddling pool today? No.
Unfortunately, I'm in a pair of Snickers, sweating profusely.
Right, obviously working hard somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much.
Well, Dave, in relation to this woman, you know, I mean, look, gambling, like alcoholism, like drug addiction, you know, they're all addictions and you drag usually somebody else into your nightmare with you. Should she stick with him and support him? He says he loves her and wants support. What should she do?
The first thing I heard from what he said to her was manipulation. He's trying to manipulate her into staying with him and, like, feeling sorry for him.
Yeah.
And If she sticks with him without any consequences, well, then all she's doing, like my family would have done, is enabling him.
Okay, so you were an addict yourself. Okay, what were you addicted to, Dave?
Drink and cocaine.
Okay, and were you working? Were you
working on and off?
Yeah.
And,
so how were you fueling your habit?
Kept on promising I was going to do something about it, but in reality, never. Had
okay.
No intention of doing it.
And was it the proceeds of crime you were fueling your habit with, or did you manage to find the money some other way?
No, I'll be honest, it was a long time ago. I was stealing off my parents.
Right, okay. So you were taking money from your parents. And this is what happens, of course, with addiction. You know, they'll start taking things out of the family home. You'll take things out of people's purses if you can get a chance. Whatever.
Yeah
anything. Yeah. And probably spending quite a substantial amount of money between cocaine and alcohol. And how did you eventually get away? Or what was the turning point for you, Dave, where you said, this has to stop?
I got a final ultimatum from my family, and I knew they were serious this time.
Why did you know they were serious that time compared to other times? What was the point of that you knew they were serious?
Just their demeanour, the way, like, I tortured them for, I would say, like, I got sober at 30, so I'd say for 25 years I tortured them.
Okay.
And I mean, like, from a very young age.
And are they still with us today, your mum and dad?
Yes, they are indeed, thank God.
Good,
thank God.
Okay, and I'm sure you look back at those days with regret and what you did to them, I suppose.
To be honest, Niall, I did for the first few years, but if I kept looking at the past, I could never kind of...
Move on, yeah.
Move on. So I had to, I know it sounds terrible, I had to forgive myself so that I could even make their life better. Otherwise, I'd be a bout of misery,
what I mean. And how long are you clean and off the alcohol?
11 and a half years now.
Brilliant. Well done to you, by the way. Well done. And by the sounds of things with your Snickers, you're working away now and you're back in construction or whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, well, I'm in partnership in a construction business now. So I have that. I have a child and identical twin girls on the way and a new house. So, like,
well done. Well done.
Compared to
good. And hopefully you'll never go back to that because you know where that took you before. So what advice then? I mean, this is a young girl. She's only, you know, she said she was 22 3 years ago. So she's only 25 years of age.
Yeah.
She only knows this guy 3 years. He already told her 3 years ago when she met him and she knew he was gambling that he'd give it up, which he promised he did. He promised her he was saving in his own account, which it looks like now he wasn't. He was spending it all on online gambling, et cetera, et cetera. And he lied to her initially. And now she knows he's back gambling again. So, I mean, should she just say, look, I'm not going to go down this route, or should she support him?
Oh, I would say, as I said, Niall, give him an ultimatum, and if he doesn't do something about it and stick with it, then she has to leave. Otherwise, he's ruining her life as well as his own.
So basically, if I catch you, well, if it was me in her situation, I'd say, I want to see your bank account weekly, and I want to know what's going out of it. And if you don't want to agree, if you don't agree to that, or you don't want to agree to that, well, then we're done.
Yeah, see, I think the whole thing has to be based around trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rather than saying I'm going to be looking, because Niall, I remember when I got a phone call early in the morning, and it was actually an innocent phone call, and my mother asked me what was going on, and my instant reaction was, what's the point in doing this if nobody's actually going to believe and trust me? If you know what I mean.
I know, I get you. Yeah, yeah. If I'm not going to get support from anybody, so why should I bother? I might as well just stay in it.
Yeah, well, see, your mind as an addict is always going to try and take you away from actually doing the right thing. It's always going to say, don't do it, do the wrong thing, you're better off.
Yeah, so, that's the kind of default setting, isn't it? It's just to resort back to the drinking and the drugs again. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I always said, Niall, I'm terrible as I was for my family. I am so grateful that I actually had something for my mind, because I see people with depression all the time who are trying to kill themselves. And it's like, we're the lucky ones, even though our families are unlucky, that we actually have something to stop our minds bringing us to that place, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I mean, look, it can be extremely selfish too, you know, to be an addict, because unfortunately you're having little regard for the people that love you.
Yes, exactly. Yes, no, that's 100% true. 100% true.
Well, Dave, once again, I'm delighted that you're back on the straight and narrow, and continued success with that. 11 years is a long time to be away from it, and I hope you stay away from it. And I'm delighted your business is doing well, and you have a new family to look after now as well and be responsible for. So that responsibility alone will keep you away from it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Dave, listen, nice talking to you. Thanks very much indeed for your honesty. See you, bye. There you go, Dave. Some of your WhatsApp messages coming in, by the way.
Hi, Niall. I'm delighted you brought this subject up. It's actually quite frightening, and I just heard your part there where you said it used to be a male problem. You're very right there, but now it's both, to be honest with you. The women are like mad things, and the blokes on them scratch cards. You see the scratch cards like in the shops now? You can get one for €20, and I think 1 in 6 or something like that wins. It's, I don't know. I think we should be looking closer to home, like people saying all these gambling companies and all online. But for the National Lottery, are at it worse than anyone, probably. But that's what I'm talking about, the scratch cards. People think it's all betting. No, them scratch cards should be banned.
Well, yeah, people talk about the lottery. I mean, the lottery is gambling. You can try and, you know, glorify it whatever way you want. And yeah, you do have the Euro Millions. What do they say? You have a 1 in 35 million chance of being a millionaire. 1 in 35 million. But you could win. You could get 5 numbers and win a few thousand or whatever, I suppose. But everybody thinks they're going to be that one person, don't they?
A girl would want to run, Niall. Because the thing is, if they're saving for a house, there's not a chance of them getting a mortgage if he has online gambling accounts. The bank will just red flag him straight away. No dice.
Yeah, I don't think she's thought of that aspect of it. You're absolutely 100% right.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.